Thomas Sugrue is a historian who tracks disinvestment in cities, structural racism, and other factors that help create crises like the one we saw with Flint's water. On this episode of Created Equal, my conversation with NYU professor and author Thomas Sugrue.
It was founded on the principle,
we hold these truths to be self-evident,
that all men are created equal.
That all men are created equal. Yeah.
Thomas Sugrue is a professor of social and cultural analysis and history at NYU. He is a specialist in 20th century American politics, urban history, civil rights, and race. He is also the author of The Origins of the Urban Crisis, Race and Inequality in Post-War Detroit. Thomas Sugrue, welcome.
Thank you, Stephen.
So I want to start with a look at this idea of Flint and how it connects, how what we saw happen in Flint just a few years ago connects to a pretty sprawling and persistent history in this country of inequality and race. How do you draw those lines?
For the last half century plus, our cities have borne the weight of America's long history of racial and economic inequality, race and class kind of reinforcing each other in the way that we allocate resources, in the way that we shape public policies, and the way that people live their everyday lives, economically, socially, and politically.
And so when you are thinking about how race plays a role in these things, talk about how specifically people can understand that. I mean, I hear from a lot of people this defense that it's not race anymore and we're past all of those sort of awful structural inequalities, legal inequalities that were baked into the system. Talk about the way that those continue to bear, as you say, on urban centers and the people who live in those urban centers.
Oh, yeah. Well, we often think about race in the U.S. as something that exists just in the hearts and minds of ordinary people. Are you a racist? Do you think bad things about people unlike yourself? And that's often a very individualistic, of-the-moment way of thinking about race. But think about metropolitan Detroit and how race shapes the experience of people living in the region. We have what I would call sediment, a long legacy of built-up inequalities that still shape everyday life. And the best example of that is the housing market. Mm. Detroit is still one of the most racially segregated metropolitan areas in the United States. And that is a result of decades and decades of official public policies, real estate practices, and individual and family decisions about where to live. The result is we have a metropolitan area that has changed. It's better than it was 25 years ago or 30 years ago in terms of racial segregation, but it's still highly segregated. And that determined your access to public goods and resources like education, or like good quality water system. It determines your access to the consumer marketplace. It's a lot easier to find high quality shopping close to where you live in prosperous, predominantly white communities than it is in communities of color. It shapes your access to all sorts of public goods, the streets, the infrastructure, the sewers. And it affects how much you pay for it in the form of taxes. There's a huge tax burden, disproportionately so, actually, on communities that are the most impoverished. And so all of those are long-term legacies. And it's not just a matter, in other words, of thinking badly about people who aren't like yourself. It's a matter of the way in which racial inequality is baked into our everyday institutions. Hmm.
And so when something like the Flint water crisis happens, we're reminded of those things that you're talking about. We're reminded of that history. But it also strikes me that the response to those kinds of things needs to sort of account for that history as well. And I feel like we're not great at that either, that when we are reminded of this inequality and the past inequality that shapes the present, we don't act in a way that addresses that. We kind of deal with the instant issue kind of in a vacuum.
Absolutely. You know, think about a place like Flint or Highland Park. We're dealing with communities that have suffered decades and decades of disinvestment, of the loss of jobs, the loss of tax base, particularly because of companies moving out and the population getting poorer and smaller. Both Flint and Highland Park have seen devastating population losses. And the result is that you've got municipalities that simply don't have the resources on their own to deal with the long-term legacies of, you know, an infrastructure that was built 100 years ago that's full of lead in the case of Highland Park, right? Mm-hmm. And so we've got, in other words, a need to think more systemically about the causes of and the solutions to these pressing urban problems. We can't just think about it in terms of individual attitudes, or we can't just think about it in terms of what happened yesterday. We have to think about the fact that this has been building for a very, very long time.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.
I want to ask you about the future and the things that you feel that we need to do, and the opportunity, I guess, to shift the conversation to that. It does seem to me that as we prepare to elect another president in 2020, it is getting, these kinds of issues seem to be getting a little bit more air than they normally do. Is this a turning point, I guess, in the way that we can talk about these issues?
Well, it's hard for historians to look into our crystal balls and accurately predict the future.
Right.
But that said, the here and now, the very fact that issues about school segregation, issues about reparations, a discussion of the long-term effects of racial inequality in the United States are on the table, to me, is a very heartening sign. This is a conversation that is long overdue. We had a conversation about race during the Obama years, especially in the first in his first term when he was the first African-American president. But a lot of that conversation was, wow, we've made a breakthrough. We've entered a post-racial era. The civil rights movement has come to its happy conclusion with the election of a black man to the highest office in the land. And it took a lot of tragedies, particularly in the 2011, 12, 13, 14, and a lot of protests to begin to put those issues back on the table around Black Lives Matter, around policing, but also around larger questions of the fact that the economy continues to be better for white Americans than it does for people of color. And so those issues are coming on the table right now, I think, in part because of a reaction to the divisive rhetoric of the current administration, but I think also in part because a lot of folks on the ground began to put pressure on elected officials and said, these issues matter. It's not just, we can't just wave them away and say that somehow America is post-racial after the election of African-American president. And events in the last decade have made that crystal clear.
On the next episode of Created Equal, we'll hear from the local journalist who started a publication to tell stories no one else was telling about Flint residents.
These are the people who haven't been heard. And I never say voiceless. They have a voice. They just didn't have a platform. I service that platform, that vehicle, so that if they have an issue, they can be heard.
Created Equal is a production of WDET, Detroit's NPR station. Our executive producer is Joan Cherry Isabella. Our producers are Elena Frugé, Jake Neer, and Anna Marie Seisling. Our sound engineers are Matt Trevethan, Rowan Niamisto, and Rasan Cherry. Senior editor and musical composer is Sam Bobian. Our digital and social media team is Maida Stange, Shiraz Ahmed, and Tony Brown. I'm your host, Stephen Henderson.